It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. It's a bit rainy outside, but you know, it all comes with the territory, guys. We got a guest coming on today. You know, we've been talking about gun violence and all these other things that have been plaguing, I wouldn't say the world, but the universe, of criminal acts that have been going on. And it's not too much that we can do about things because it is what it is right now. And you just have to be one of the players to go along with the game for now, until there's congressmen that are willing to step up to the plate and do what they're supposed to do as far as setting the rules straight so maybe people could follow them. And, you know, along with government officials, if they would just sit back and look at what the real picture is of everything that has transpired thus far with gun violence, the teens. It's really plaguing, and it's hard, you know, for people to sit back and say it's really what it is without getting involved. But I have a guest that's coming on. He was plagued by gun violence in Philadelphia. He's still alive to tell the story. I got a lot of shocking details myself on what happened to this young man, and things that they, you know, his family were wondering, like, how could he be involved with this? He's such a good kid. But some of the things to just show that gun violence can destroy your life. And if you are a victim of gun violence, whether you did something or you didn't, it still can terrorize your life with, you know, things that are going on today. And if you're stuck in a position where you really can't do much about things and you're just caught in the middle, you know, some things happen just in that order. So we'll give the caller a minute to come on. And guys, I'm going to just put you on mute just a second. I have someone that is calling in that wants to ask a question. Hang on.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because G Buys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping short of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home. Fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors. No home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is. No repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember,
guys, I'm back. I tell you, you know, this was a very urgent call. This was from a young lady who's a mother of twins, that her twins were plagued by gun violence in New York. And she wanted to come on the show tonight, but I already have a guest coming on, and I want you guys to get the full story of what happened to this young man and how it could have potentially damaged his life for good. And unfortunately, sometimes these things happen, you know, at the click of a dime. It's just what it is. And people sometimes don't know, like, you know, this could really take place in somebody's life if they're not cautious to say, you know, I'm aware of my surroundings and I know for sure that these are some of the things that could happen to me. People sometimes don't know what they're walking into. They have no idea. They just walk right into them. And, you know, it's a very sad thing when you are a mother and you have to have the burden of taking care of a loved one who at the end of the day is plagued by gun violence. And this story that you'll hear, you will hear the trauma that this has caused for this young man. You know, it's too much going on all over the world today. You got domestic situations, you got innocent people getting killed. You know, and from last week's show, guys, if they regulate the bullets, this would help save the race. You know, if you really look at it, the percentage of black on black crimes, it's really at an astronomical high right now. Caller is on, guys. Hey, caller, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was just talking to our guests about, you know, gun violence and talking to them a little bit about how the gun violence plagued a major part of your son's life. And I wanted to get like a little bit of the backstory from you on what happened, you know, what happened that led up to this taking place in his life.
Okay, well, as far as I know, and my son is here as well, we really don't have too much information, because what was told to me was told by the young lady that was with him at the time. Chief of Oak was walking through with her to the store. She got into a confrontation with two gentlemen in the car. And they asked her a question, and they got to a confrontation, shot her, and ran him down and shot him. This is what was told to me from her. My son really don't know. He don't know what happened. He doesn't even remember anything. I went to see him in the hospital, and I also went to visit her. And this is the story that I got from her. No one ever spoke to me. The detectives did walk past me, and I thought they were coming to ask questions, you know, about my son, but they actually went to her room. I never heard anything from the authorities at all. She said that they were walking to the store in Knightstown, Philadelphia, and one of the driver asked, did she see anybody knocking at his door? He said no. How they got into a confrontation, I don't know. She set her cup down to do what? I don't know. And he pulled out a gun, and she went to go run, and she told my son to run. And they ran two different ways. They shot her. She got shot in the rear end, and they pretty much chased him down. And from what I heard, the police suspected to be two drivers. No, two suspects. Because supposedly there were two different kind of shells on the ground. And the injuries that he sustained was horrible. He got shot in his liver, which the bullet traveled to his heart, and then it traveled to each one of his lungs, came up, and it, which is still in him. And he got shot in his arm and his leg.
Well,
so
no,
he was pretty much. So he was pretty much DOA.
Excuse me?
So he was pretty much DOA, dead on arrival.
Oh, he was DOA at Temple Hospital. He was DOA. When I got there, I waited for, by the time I arrived there, my family arrived there, he was already in surgery. I was there maybe for 3 hours when a nurse came out and she said to me, she said, keep praying. She said, because when he got here, he wasn't breathing. She said, and when they opened up his chest cavity, his heart wasn't stopped. Was not beating. They had to massage his heart, and by the grace of God, it started beating again. She said, normally when they open up that chest cavity, that's when I pronounce the time of death. I said, so he was DOA? She said, yes, he came in here as DOA. So I didn't even learn about his injuries until the surgeon came down after me waiting 18 hours to tell me all the injuries that he sustained. And it's just crazy to me because the detectives, I believe, came to his room once. And we haven't heard anything else from the authorities. And so, it's scary because that's not what he looked like. But he don't remember anything. So he's like a walking target. Because I always say they may think, you know, he can identify them, but he actually can't. But they sure can identify him if they're still on the street.
So they never came, like victim services, to say, you know, we're here for you. We're working on the case. Like they never came to you to even offer any compensation?
No, actually, a member at my church is a Philadelphia police officer. Now, she got in contact with the people she needed to get in contact with. They got in contact with my son, and that was it. Heard nothing else from him. And this was, February will be a year that just happened to him.
And how about your son? Like, how was he surviving now, and what's going on with him? Like, is it possible to speak to him to, you know, get his feel on?
Oh, yeah. He's just right here. He can speak for himself. He surely can.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
So I wanted to ask you, like, how are you feeling now?
To be honest, I think get pretty depressed about it. I have PTSD, anxiety. I still have nightmares. I'm paranoid being on the streets. Like, it's hard, to be honest.
So have you ever been shot before?
Say that again?
Have you ever been shot before?
No.
So this is really traumatizing for you.
Yeah, I even served time in the military and haven't been shot. And, you know, I get shot on the streets of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not a safe place to be anymore. It's not.
So
like, you know, my body scarred up. You know, I'm self-conscious about the way that my body looks now. From all the surgeries and everything that I have, I have a hard time breathing. There's still a bullet, actually, still in my chest cavity.
So what about any suspects? They got any leads on who could have possibly did this to you?
No, not as far as I'm aware of. I haven't heard anything. But the two detectives came into my room while I was still in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. And two detectives came to my room. They showed me a picture of a gray car. And I had already told them I had dissociative amnesia, that I don't remember anything. And I told them I can't tell them yes or no because I don't want to tell them yes and then it's the wrong people, wrong car, and they go and get the wrong people. I had no idea. And ever since then, I haven't heard anything. And they had all of my contact information, mine and my mother's.
Well, what about the young lady that you were with? Like, she didn't say, hey, I know who did this. I saw them face to face because I had the confrontation with them. She never came forward to say anything?
No. No, she said the same thing, that she couldn't identify it. She gave me and my mom that bogus story, and which doesn't make any sense. And that's about all I heard from her. Since then, I haven't heard anything.
Well,
I even filed
for
victim compensation.
Let me ask you this.
And,
how do you feel hearing today the reason why you were shot is because this young lady actually was selling fake opioids and basically used you as her excuse and you were targeted? Like, how does that make you feel?
I feel angry, like, that she would do something like that to me. You know, I'm not a street guy. Like, I don't run the streets. I don't have any enemies. I didn't do anything to her for her to do that to me. And she, and nothing, I got no justice. Basically, she's still running the streets. And who knows how many other people she's probably done it to. I might not be the only person. She's probably still doing the same thing. And, you know, I met this girl through a friend. And come to find out.
What did your friend have to say about this girl?
Say that again?
What did your friend have to say about this girl that made the introduction?
Well, they still associate with her. Which I don't even not even found that out because I went back down in the area, back to the house where I was staying, and to get some mail, the important piece of mail that I needed to get, and she was in the house.
Like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, like nothing ever happened. Like nothing ever happened.
So does she even offer any type of apology to say, I'm sorry for what happened to you?
No, nothing. And
at some point, maybe she also should be charged as an accomplice to a crime?
Yes, because I believe that's similar to, you know, that's no different than making a call to action. She's fully responsible. So that would have never happened to me had she not did what she did. That would have never happened to me. She lured me out of the house.
And how many times were you shot?
I was shot four times all together.
Five. It was five.
No,
it was five.
That's not big. I know the report, man.
Okay.
I got shot in the stomach and then it hit your liver and then it hit your heart and then it hit your lung. No, I got shot. I got shot in the stomach and that bullet traveled to my liver and I got shot in the chest and that bullet hit me in the heart and traveled to my lungs and I got hit in my left forearm. And I got hit in the back of my right leg. And the bullet that hit me in the chest is still in my chest cavity.
Well, according to a witness, they kind of said that they saw the gunman standing over you, like they wanted to, like, take you out.
See, that's news to me because I didn't know anything. I didn't know that. And
do you know if there were, like, any other witnesses that you may have known that seen something?
Hold on one second. My mom could tell you better than I could.
Hello. I can't say, but I went back around him. And he was staying with, he was living there with Regina. And the lady upstairs, her neighbor, she got to talking. And when she got to talking, she actually said, yeah, because he was laying under the truck because she told Regina, that's your nephew that was shot. And Regina said, no, it wasn't. He went to the store. It was a truck sitting like a mobile home on a corner, and he must have been trying to wedge himself up underneath the tire. And she, I don't remember exactly what she said, so I asked her, I said, so you saw what happened? Oh, no, no, I didn't. I didn't see nothing. But how did you know that it was my son then if you didn't see anything? That's what I said to her. And she, you know, walked on out the door and went about her business. So it's pretty much to me, they going by that, you know, snitching. You know what I mean? Because I think maybe 2 weeks later, there was another shooting around the corner in the house, in a house. So whatever
was it
going
same,
on in that area,
was it the same house?
No. What did you say?
Was it the same house or a different house?
Oh no! Not in the house where Lance stayed. Ooh, I didn't mean to say it. Now where is the house where my son stayed? The same house, I believe that the guy was talking about was anybody knocking on the door because come and find out that was a crack house. And it was a shooting in there 2 weeks later. And it was told to me, because there was drug dealers hanging on the corner, that they were trying to get to the bottom of it because they couldn't even be out there to sell their drugs because the cops was out there for 7 weeks sitting on the corner. And they couldn't understand why that happened to my son either, because, as I said, they told his roommate that, you know, we see him all the time. And he's out there working on his bike, or we just see him going to the store. He don't bother nobody. So they supposedly was trying to hear through the street, find out, you know, who did it, you know, or why, because they know for sure he don't bother anybody.
So how has this affected him now? Like, can he work? Like, what can he do for himself?
He can't even lift 10 pounds. He's sitting here now complaining to me about how painful his chest is. His chest, he's always talking about his chest is hurting. I asked him, I was in the kitchen cooking, and I came out the kitchen. I'm just standing in the dining room. And I asked him, he was watching TV. I said, are you okay? He said, I'm okay. Well, I said, because it looks like your heart is coming through your chest. And he has on a hoodie.
And who's paying for all of his who's paying for all of his medical bills?
The state right now we have to apply for the state medical.
And victim services never came out to say anything.
Never. So we as though I didn't even bother to, you know, my church member anymore, because that's not even her department. I spoke to the person that, victim compensation, and they never called it. So
did you ever think about reaching back out to the detective?
Actually, he was about to start a job. Yeah, at the art museum. He was actually about to start a job at the art museum as security. And he got shot. That's why he don't have no medical. My son's been working since he was 15. He has college education. He's also a veteran. So now he's applying for his veteran insurance, but that's a process. that I don't even feel like he's getting the care that he should get on welfare. He shouldn't be on welfare.
So did you ever think about reaching back out to the detective and saying, hey, like, what's the status of my son's case?
To be honest, I don't even know who to reach out to. And that's the truth. Because I was so, you know, he had to come back here with me, you know, to live. Then you have another situation with the all the medicine he had to be on, getting addicted to that medication. I just only can imagine how much pain he was in. When he was here with me, he had a big hole in his stomach. He lost so much weight, you know. It's been a lot. It's a lot. Right now, pretty much, you might as well say, I'm taking care of him.
And how is this affecting you as a parent, going through all these changes?
I don't even really want him outside. I really didn't want. I was trying to send him away out the city because I'm still thinking about the fact that they know what he looked like, and he has no idea what these people look like. And from my perspective, they think that he's dead, that they killed him. So imagine running into somebody that thinks that they killed you and you looking them in the eye. He's not a gunslinger. He don't carry guns. The only time he carried a gun is when he was in the Army. They even stopped his medication, I believe, because of the insurance. And then he wound up out in the street self-medicating for his pain. They took him off the medication, I believe, because of the insurance or whatever reason. And how did he sustain all those injuries? And within a month, they done removed you off the medication. He was in a lot of pain. Still it.
So where do you go from here?
The only thing I saw fit to do, because I saw he was addicted to, you know, the drugs, is to get him in rehab. It's been a very long journey, Tamiko. It really is.
Well, let me ask you, where do you go? Where do you go from here? Like, what's your next move?
Right now, we just focusing on trying to get him back on track with his health and some for his finances.
And I wanted to ask you, because you never got any definite answers from the local PD or detectives, how do you feel knowing, you know, that I shared with you through my investigative search that your son was basically lured to his death? Like, how did that make you feel as a mother?
That is a disgrace. It's a disgrace. I feel like she needs to be locked up. She needs to be arrested, and the police need to be held accountable. Like, what are y'all doing? There's so many people every day just getting gunned down in the street. Innocent people. How do I feel? I don't even want to say it. Please, to be honest with you. Self-incrimination. Because I felt like hurting that girl.
And how old is your son?
He's 34.
And it's like you have to re-raise him. It's like you have to re-raise him as he's a young baby again, because a lot of things he's not going to be able to do for himself anymore.
Yeah.
So this has to take a toll on you mentally, emotionally. Seeing your son bloom from being in the military and not getting injured in the military, but getting injured in Beirut of Philadelphia.
Exactly. And the person that lured him in this situation is still walking the streets.
Did the cops ever tell you, you know, we think we got some leads, maybe.
Somehow?
You know, like, we have somebody in mind. Like, we think we might know who did this.
No, I told you, I never heard from them again. I never heard from them, period. They went to check room, the detective, when he was in the hospital. Nobody ever spoke to me, except for the victim compensation. I spoke to the lady one time. I just even stopped focusing on that part, because there is no justice reform, and they just don't care.
Well,
you know, honestly, you know what I did? And that's the honest to God truth. Because I'm going to protect my child. I don't care how old he is. I went and got my license to carry and bought a gun. That he could feel safe when he walked. It's like easy, like you just said. It's like I'm raising him against his dad. I really don't want him to go anywhere by himself.
And that's sad. You got to live in fear, you know, where you call home.
Exactly, because where he got shot at, where he was staying, the people in there that supposedly that don't know what happened, they know where I live. So actually, he's a victim, and as far as they are concerned, he's a witness too.
And that being a witness in Philadelphia is very dangerous.
Yes. And he's walking the street not knowing. If he's going to run into these people again, we don't know if they arrested, if they did, what happened to him. And he wouldn't be able to identify him if he saw him today or tomorrow. Who wants to live their life like that? He's sitting here praying and hoping that the government will do right by him and give him his veterans compensation so he can relocate out of Philadelphia. And it's just a whole lot of red tape and paperwork with this. It's been almost a year. He still hasn't received any financial compensation. He even applied for his Social Security disability.
Well, I like to thank you for coming on the show. And there's people that have sent over a lot of questions, you know, because people are concerned and they want answers. And hopefully we can get you back on the show to answer some of these questions, because Philadelphia law enforcement, they always listen to the show. And I'm hoping that someone will reach out to me and say, who was that person, so we can do the right thing by them?
Okay.
So well, I'd like to thank you and your son for coming on and having that courage, because sometimes you have to set yourself free.
Yeah. These well, we appreciate you having us, because this is the first time anybody even asked him. You know, after the detective came, it was like he was nobody. It didn't matter. It did not matter. So we appreciate you taking this time, you know, to invite us to the show that we can tell his story.
Absolutely, because people have to be aware and they have to know.
Yes.
Because there's so many mothers out there, I can't say like you, but, you know, they lose their loved ones to gun violence and they never get any justice.
Exactly. And thank God, by the grace of God, he put them back here for a reason. But who wants to be back here to live like that? To live, you know, feeling unsafe.
And handicapped. He wasn't handicapped before.
Exactly. A healthy young man. My son hasn't even had any children yet. And he not only that, is really messed up his self-esteem, because can you imagine how many scars he had on his chest and his body from the surgery? He cried to me. He said, "Mom, how am I going to get a wife?" And I just told him, I said, "You know, it's an out of history to say his name. There's a history behind those scars that you hit. And any woman that knows the history that you tell her, she's going to love you regardless. So don't worry about that." But I can't say that because he's only 34 years old. When he just actually say to me, that hurts me to my heart when he didn't say that. I can't even walk down the beach anymore with my shirt on without people staring at me.
Well, thank you for coming on, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime.
Okay, and have a great night.
And thank you for having us. Yeah,
thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night. Guys, I tell you, plagued by gun violence and being a victim and a witness at the same time, you know, usually you have to take a pick. Either you're going to be a witness or you're going to be a victim. You're not going to be both if you don't have to be. And just the whole idea of getting shot and not knowing who your assailant is, and you're going to be confronted by the eyes of evil maybe one day. And who's to say which day it will be? Will it be the day that he says, "I'm going to go outside, I'm going to go for a walk"? Is it going to be the day that he says, "I'm going for a job interview because I feel like I can do it now"? Or is it just going to be a day that he's going to a doctor's visit and he runs into his assailant that he can't remember what he looks like, the sound of his voice? This is really deep, guys. And to hear a mother say, "I had to go get a gun so my adult child can feel safe." And to say, "I don't even want my 34-year-old son to go outside because I'm afraid this time he may be gunned down permanently." Because in their minds, the assailants, they think they finished him off. They think he's dead. So this is a lot for any human being to endure when they're plagued by gun violence, they're plagued by the setup artists, me having to come in and share some of the truth of what really happened, and just happy that I could share some truth with them to put them at ease. But really, they need to reach out to Philadelphia's finest and let them know some things. But it's a lot of people who give up on the system. They didn't call me, I'm not calling them. They don't care about me, I'm not going to care about them. It's a real harsh thing that a person has to go through because it's punishment. You're being punished for being a good person. There's so many cases such as these that go unsolved, and they have to call people like myself and others in to help them figure it out. And sometimes I get it. The local PD, they're too embarrassed to reach out for help because they have poor resources. They don't have everything that we would have to help them. And there's all divisions of law enforcement that can come together and help them put the pieces together and get these criminals off the street. You know, when is somebody going to stand up and say, I've had enough? I guess when the tables turn, because usually what happens is when it's a judge or a former juror or police officer that is plagued, when their family is plagued by gun violence, you know, and it's sad because I could have been a victim of gun violence in Philadelphia because this young man didn't know my position and he didn't know who I was. But he openly pulls out his gun because he's high on pills, high on weed, not knowing what he's doing. He pulls out his gun like he's in the Wild Wild West. Mind you guys, the tables may turn for him. He also has a child. And you know that big circle, that's that 360, it's called karma. It comes back around to get a lot of people. You just don't know when it's your turn. And the judge that sat on that bench, her stepchild was plagued by gun violence, murdered in cold blood in the city of Philadelphia. Senseless act of crime. The judge told this young man, you have a good day, and I just don't want to see you in my courtroom. Didn't mention anything about the unregistered gun. Didn't mention anything about the extended clip. So judges have issues too. And those judges need to be removed from the bench. They believe because, you know, I'm over it. It happened. You know, my family has suffered this trauma. But you hear this mother who's suffering from this trauma. And if they even find out who did this crime, it may be that same judge that says, I'm going to give you a slap on the wrist because guess what? This young man doesn't remember anything. But we have an eyewitness that remembers everything, but we're still not going to penalize this killer. We're going to set him free. This is what's going on, guys. What is it going to take? Is it going to take for one of your family members to go down and you say, oh, it's time for me to speak up and have a voice and do something? What is it really going to take for someone to have a voice? Those are some things for you guys to think about. Because at the end of the day, your loved ones ride the train, they ride the bus, they're in the cars. You got people in cars that are just getting angry and just shooting at you because you cut me off. And honestly, it could be children in the car. No one cares. It's called reckless behavior. And as long as reckless behavior is allowed, people will continue to do it. You know, if they're saying the jails are crowded in Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, oh, jails are too crowded. We got to send some people home. As a matter of fact, we got to give them a slap on the wrist because we don't want them on top of each other. There's companies that will pay for these criminals to be deported, not immigrants, Americans. Because usually in the court of law, the old law that still exists, if you commit a crime such as murder or attempted murder, America has the right to ship you off to a jail that can house you. You, therefore, will have to have the proper funds to appeal your case of being transferred. And maybe if they start making things a little bit more difficult and having them go to a foreign jail that America has these treaties with, they're in agreement with, we share the jail system, maybe things will take a turn around. Who wants to be in Africa locked up? Who wants to be in Guatemala locked up? Who wants to be in the Dominican Republic in jail? I can tell you, because I have family members that are law enforcement in the Dominican Republic, and that is not a jail that they would ever want to go to. You're sleeping on raw dirt with red ants biting you all night. You get a bath with a hose through the window, no air conditioning, once a month, and you get no soap. You have water. So if you have all these advantages and you take advantage of all these things that you have in America as your luxury, because jail here in this country is a luxury. You know, you do something bad, we're going to throw a bracelet on you. I'm saying for the criminals, not for the innocent that get trapped off with, I didn't do anything, but they're just pointing the finger at me. I'll give you guys an example. I was on a case, and I'm sitting out in the lobby in Philadelphia, and I'm listening to the prosecutor, not know who I am, clearly say, I withheld certain parts of the video because I was unsure of what the police officer was going to say. How damaging and how criminal is that? And then the police officer saying, well, all they had to do was leave and this would have never transpired. An innocent man getting shot in Philadelphia. It's crazy how the prosecutors have shenanigans. And I'm never going to be in favor of prosecutors because you have a duty to uphold the law. You took an oath to do so. And then you have the audacity to say, I withheld portions of the video on purpose because I didn't know what the police officer was going to say. Now, if that's not a dirty crime, that prosecutor needs to be under the jail cell. Dirty, dirty, dirty. I'll say it again. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Guys, I'd like to thank you all for coming on. It's 15.4 million listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast. Thank you all for coming on. I love it when you guys are on. I love it when people say, I got a story to tell. I'm always here to listen because it will always be confirmed. Same bat time, same bat place. Next week, Tommy Torres signing off. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres. Only.